Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. My prayer, my desire for this message and every message is that God will be glorified. That those who don't know Him might come to know Him. Repent, believe. That those who do know Him will be comforted. That's my prayer and my desire with every message. It really is. And there's no greater, God could, no greater glory of God than His talk about His mercy. When Moses said, "Show me your glory," what did the Lord say? "I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to be merciful." No greater glory, no nothing that should lead someone to repentance more than God's great goodness to us. And nothing should comfort us more than His mercy, His kindness, same word, endures forever. Forever. Look at verse 31 and 32 with it. These are words to us, how we ought to be, and tells us how God is. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." The kindness, tenderness, and forgiveness of our God. This is, verse 31 tells us how the world is and how we are by nature. Verse 32 tells us how God is. Then, verse 31, bitter words. Verse 32, sweet words. Look at verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away." Malice, bitterness. The world, because of the dregs of sin. Bitter, something bitter. Have you ever drunk something and got to the bottom of it, the dregs, the bottom of it, like a cup of coffee or anything? It left a bitter taste in your mouth. Bitterness, that's what it is. It's hard to swallow. The world, because of sin, leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And everybody in the world is bitter. They really are. You remember Exodus 15? You remember the waters of Marah, where the waters were bitter? Remember that message? And people couldn't drink it, and God's people, "It's too bitter to drink. We couldn't live here if it wasn't. God did do something about this place and make it livable. He cast a tree into the waters." Remember that? "Made the bitter waters sweet." What's that? Tree. Christ crucified. To me, to live is Christ, Paul said. To die is gain. Bitterness. And then, you know, our Lord, to make everything to us a blessing, we see it's all a blessing because of Christ, for Christ's sake. "Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Whom the Lord loves, He sends trials. Whom the Lord is bringing out, stirs up a nest." Makes you uncomfortable. Makes you miserable. Send trials and tribulations. Stir you up, make you want out. That's the goodness of God. That's the love of God. That's the mercy of God. But the world is bitter. Who are they bitter against? God. He's the first cause of all things. They're not thankful. They don't worship Him. So God says, no peace. And they're bitter. Wrath. Anger. Romans 1 talks about it. Let me just read it to you. Romans 1 says, they're filled with, because they weren't thankful, the world. Think they're wise, but they're fools. They don't thank God. They change the truth of God into a lie, and they're worshiping the earth, Mother Earth, man, rather than the Creator, who's God blessed forever. So He gave them up to these things. And now they're filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, filthy. Backbiters, haters of God, proud boasters, and on it goes. Romans 3 says their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Against who?
God.
Everybody's cussing God. Anger. And such were some of you. But God. How does Ephesians start? With God choosing the people. Go into chapter 2, Ron, where it says, And you, hath He quickened, who were dead, just like them, children of wrath, even as others, children of disobedience. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, God's people, quickened us. Said, you were enemies. Remember, you were enemies, aliens, far off, but made nigh now. How? One way, blood of Christ, death of Christ. He's our peace. He's our peace. Wrath and anger. God ought to be angry with us. We're still sinners. We're still ungrateful. Some of the time, not all the time. God has given His people a thankful heart. New man, that new man's thankful. That new man's holy. That new man's just. But this old man still murmurs, complains, and full of bitterness and wrath, and isn't he in chains? God ought to be angry with us, but He's not. Why? Because of Christ. For Christ's sake. Clamor. Look at the next word here in our text. It says, where am I? Ephesians 4. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. That means outcry. Cry out. I want you to turn to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. A couple of scriptures I want you to turn with me so you know where they're at. And won't forget them. Clamor means to cry out. A clamoring cry of this world is anger and wrath, and men is a public outcry all the time against whatever. And people gather together, and this whole world, this social media, I hate it with every fiber of my being. It's just a bunch of people spouting off. What are they spouting off? It's a clamor. Everybody complaining. Everybody spouting off what we ought to do. I hate it. God hates a multitude of words. Hates it. But that's this world. As it always has been. And look at Genesis 18, verse 20. The Lord said, because the cry, that's the word, the clamor, of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. Their sin is very grievous. I'll go down now and see whether they've done altogether according to the cry of me. It's come up to me. I hear it. It's so loud. I hear it. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19. God did come down, didn't He? His name was Jesus Christ. Oh, my. Verse 13 of chapter 19. The angel said to Lot, whom God sent to mercifully bring him out, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord sent us to destroy this place. These messages go together. You can't read anywhere in the Bible where you don't see fear and rejoicing. You don't see warnings and promises. You can't read anywhere. Or you don't see destruction and preservation, salvation. Can't read it anyway. Clamor. It's all clamor. We put away from you. We've got nothing to cry out about except mercy. We've got nothing to complain about except our own sin. Why should a living man, you know this scripture, why should a living man complain for the punishment of his sins? We are not getting what we deserve. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. We got nothing to complain about. David one time wrote a psalm. I love this. I preached on it. Let there be no complaining in our streets. No room for complaining. No room for boasting. Let me go on. In Isaiah 3, he talks about this clamor where they don't hide their sin at all. They declare it like Sodom. God hears it. He hears it. Go back to our text. Evil speaking, verse 31. Doesn't all this put a bitter taste in your mouth? It does God. In verse 30, it grieves him when we do it. Grieves him. He said, let me done with it. Evil speaking. We need to preach very soon on 2 Timothy 3, the last days. It describes the last days. We haven't preached on that in a long time. We need to. Now, so much more as we see the day approaching. It is so descriptive of the modern day we're in. The last day. But in that passage, it talks about, you know, evil speaking is not just saying bad things, it's pride. Pride. God hates it. Listen, He hates it. And isn't that all you hear today? God, six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are abominations. Is that Proverbs 16? The first thing God hates and foremost is a proud look. These athletes, these runway models, these stars, these sickening it. Pride. Don't let that be named once among you. We got no room for boasting. What do we have that we have not received? And if we've received it, how, why could we possibly boast? And see if it's something we did. Mm-mm. To this man will I look. He's poor and of a contrite spirit. Humbleth himself. Humble yourself and say, he'll lift you up. Wrath, anger, evil speaking, malice. Look at that word. Malice, that means intent to do evil. Malice means you want to hurt somebody. You want to see them suffer. Have you ever known a generation that fits more? Have you? Violence. People relish it, don't they? These martial arts, these sports, blood sports are now more popular than ever. More so than the history of the Roman gladiators. It's seven. You know it's seven. Malice. And nowhere is the malice of man more clearly seen than Calvary. Nowhere is the wrath, the hatred of man toward God and his bitterness toward God more clearly seen than at Calvary when God came down, holy, righteous, just, perfect, merciful, love personified, kindness, grace poured from his lips, went about doing good, and mankind said, kill him. Don't just kill him, make him suffer. That's man. That's man. Tell you the truth, honey. That's the truth as it is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God, man got a hold of God one time. One time in the history of the world. And he said, I'm going to make him hurt. Malice. Malice. But you know, our God is not like that. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't deserve any of that. He deserved the opposite of that. But he took all of that. Why? For you. For you. For you. We deserve that. We deserve that malice. God ought to be full of malice. I'm going to make you suffer. I'm going to make you hurt because of what you did to my son. Shouldn't it? And God's not like us. You know, the scripture says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's amazing. But God, the opposite of that, God is kind. As bad as those words sounded, these next words, now let's just dwell on it. These next words have a sweet sound to them, don't they? Wrath and anger and malice and bitterness just sounds awful, doesn't it? Kindness. I like the way it sounds. Kindness. And the word kindness is mercy. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means mercy. Look up mercy. It means kindness. It's interchangeable. Kindness. God spares many. More than spare. He does more than spare judgment and wrath. He loves. This is what God is. Verse 32. Oh, wow. I wish I could preach this. It says, be ye kind one to another. That's how God is to us. Be ye merciful, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's how God is to us, for Christ's sake. This is what God is, for Christ's sake. These words, oh, sweet word, kindness. Look at, Psalm 145. I read this to you. Let me just read again what it says there. One of my favorite psalms, as I said. But this verse just stands out. All of them stand out. But when he talks about God's greatness, and he starts out by saying, I'm going to declare his greatness. I'm going to abundantly utter the memory of his great goodness. He goes on to say, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is slow to anger. He's of great mercy. That's kind. The Lord's good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. He's kind to all. He delights to show kindness, mercy. He takes pleasure in them that fear him and ask for mercy. He delights to show mercy. It gives him great pleasure. Oh, my. You know, creation groaned. Turn to Psalm 104. I do want you to turn here. Psalm 104. Creation groans because of man and sin, and so do we. We groan, don't we? Don't we? Sin without, sin within. We groan because of it. All the injustice, all the pain, all the suffering, all the sin, all the wickedness and filth without and within. We groan because of it. But creation sings, though. Creation sings of the goodness of God every day. In spite of what man and sin has done to creation, the trees clap their hands. If you listen, you'll hear it. Who are they clapping to? God. No man's going to cut them down. But no. The wind is whistling through those trees. What's that wind saying? Holy, holy, holy. Love, love, love. Goodness, 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 mercy. The birds wake up singing. They don't have a place to lay their head. They're out in the cold, out in the snow, out in the rain, while we lay in our beds and wake up grumpy. They wake up singing. In spite of man, in spite of sin, they wake up singing. Psalm 104. This is my favorite psalm. This really is. Until we read the next one. Look at verse 10. He sends the springs to the valleys that run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. He waters them. Wild asses quench their thirst. By them the hills, the fowls, the trees grow. The fowls of the heavens have their habitation and sing. Among the branches, he waters the hills with his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy work. Causes grass to grow for the cattle, herb for the service of man. bring forth food out of the earth, wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face to shine, bread to strengthen his heart, trees of the Lord full of sap. Verse 17, the birds make their nests. High hills, verse 18, a refuge for wild goats, rocks for the conies. On down, verse 21, that are young lions, predators, killers. They roar and the Lord gives them their prey. Seek their meat from God. He feeds the killers. Man, what about man? He does all this for man. Oh, Lord, verse 24. Don't ever say that unless you mean it. Oh, Lord. Okay? Don't ever say that. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Don't ever say that unless you mean it. Oh, my God. Don't ever say that unless you really mean it. Oh, my God, how great that is. Oh, Lord, how manifold are thy works. Look at verse, and he talks about the whale. God just loved to see the whale play in the water. Man, you want to see a whale so bad? Claims she has, but we didn't believe her. I believe. But anyway. Oh, the glory of the Lord, verse 31. His works, rejoice in his works. Verse 33, I'll sing as long as I live. As long as I live, of the goodness, the kindness of God. God does all this. God is kind. He feeds everything that has need. And he said in his Sermon on the Mount, this God who's a consuming fire came down to this filthy, rotten, wretched place in love and mercy and great and kindness, and he sat on a mountain one day. He said, come. And the first words out of his blessed mouth were, blessed, blessed, blessed. And he said, your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. He said, those little birds out there, not one of them falls to the ground without your Father. He feeds every one of them. Are you not worth much more than many sparrows? Fear not. Again, you heard about when I was sitting in the study down there and the bird feeder was empty. And I stopped what I was doing. It was very important. Preparing the Word of God. Stopped what I was doing, drove all the way to Walmart, got a bag of feed. Well, stopped at 40 West first. They didn't have it. Went all the way to Walmart, got a bag of feed, came back, fed those birds. Well, yesterday, I was studying, looked out there, the bird bath was empty. No water. They were coming down, no water. Stopped what I was doing, went out there, filled up that bird bath. Just filled it. You know what? You know how I filled it? It's running over. Running over. Went back in. I was no sooner inside that building, and I sat down, and a robin of all birds, a robin got in there. She's drinking it. She's splashing in it. She's washing, drinking, frolicking. And then two sparrows came. Two sparrows, and then a finch came, and then a bluebird came. And then, I'm telling you, there was five birds in there of all kinds. Every tribe, kindred of bird was in that bath, drinking it, washing it, frolicking. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. If he feeds the little birds, how much more will he feed you? Doesn't he well deserve our praise? Shouldn't we be sitting here waiting to praise him inside? Praise waiteth for thee. He waits to be gracious. Waits on you to wake up. To keep just feed you and water you and be kind. So kind. Look at the next word. Kindness. And in Luke 6, verse 35, the Lord's one that says this. He said, be like him. He's kind. God's kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Oh, my. And let me add this. How kind is he? How merciful? The greatest show of all. He's hanging on the cross. and the very ones that when malice, wrath, and anger against him, his first words were, "Father, forgive them." And in one last show of kindness, the worst fellow that ever walked the planet, on his right hand, he turned and said, "Today you're going with me in paradise." Is he kind to the unthankful? That proves it. Greatest proof of all, Calvary. Tender-hearted, Psalm 103. This really is my favorite. Psalm 103. It's yours too, isn't it? Jeanette, it is. Ed, you know it is. Psalm 103. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted, soft-hearted, not hard. That's opposite of hard is tender. Tender, touched, moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. The Lord came and he was sitting there and the scripture says he's moved with compassion on the multitude. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. They were hungry. He fed every one of them. Every one of them. Psalm 103, look at verse 3. Oh, bless the Lord. He forgives all your iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. He redeemeth your life from destruction. Keeps you from destroying yourself. All thy iniquities, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfies your mouth with good things, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful, that's kind, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, he will not always chide. He ought to, shouldn't he? You ought to reprove, rebuke, and correct us. We need it. Let the righteous smite me. It'll be a kindness. It'll be a kindness. We need it. We need these afflictions. It's good for us to be afflicted. It's so much less than we deserve. And the afflictions he sends us are good for us. It's because of his love. It's not because of his anger. It's because of his love. He said that, and you punish. You chasing your children? Why? They need it. Read on. It says in verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sin. Who did he deal with? God will by no means clear the guilty. Then one word. He dealt with Christ after our sins. We're talking about mercy. He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. But God hath laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. Two things that a human being, it's impossible for us to do. Two things. Number one is not get credit for something we've done. That's the hardest thing to do is to give an anonymous gift. Yes, it is. What if somebody else gets credit for it? That's humanly impossible to do that. Second thing is to take the blame for something we have not done. That's impossible. Impossible. That's exactly what Christ did. Both those things. He gave us the credit. What was charged to us is what he did, this righteousness, this holiness. God looks at us and says, "You're holy, unblameable, unreprovable by sight." We say, "No, he was." We're the opposite of that. But God laid on him. And God made us righteous. That's what he did. He opened not his mouth. They blamed him. They accused him of everything. Of blaspheming God. He can't. He loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. They said, "You blaspheme God." Yes, man. Took the blame. Astounding. That's amazing. Where am I? Verse 11, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy, his kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgression from us. As a father pitieth his children, tender hearted toward his children, the Lord pitieth them that what? Fear him. He knows everything. He knows you. Do you look on that when you were with your grandson? You do love him, don't you? We were just in her house. We saw 143 pictures. Almost. You love him, don't you? You love him dearly. Did you look on him with compassion? Did you look on him with tenderness? Did you look on him with love? Did you look on him? You feel for him when he cried, do you? Sure you do. How much more? Where'd you get that, God? God's love's not like a mother's love. A mother's love's like God's. He's the supreme example of all goodness and mercy and love and grace. Don't confuse God's kindness and tenderness and compassion with love now. Don't with all people. As said, I quoted that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked need to die when God's just. And God is merciful to many of the most wicked men to ever walk the planet. Nebuchadnezzar. I believe the Lord saved that man. And you're talking about an idolater. Manasseh. God says he's the worst man ever lived. Never was one after him that bad. I believe the Lord saved Manasseh. Don't you? Me. Thief on the cross. Present day. You remember Saddam Hussein? You remember how evil that man was? He was evil. I remember when they found him hiding in a hole. Boy, do the proud come down. And they got him out of there, and that people of Iraq. They got that man out of that hole, and they started torturing him. Did you see it? I saw it. And they had him on a rope in front of everybody. The whole crowd was just having a big old party because they're going to hang this man. And the fear on his face. I feel sorry for him. He needs to die. He needs to die. He deserves it. But I feel sorry for him. That's no pleasure. I've got no pleasure in watching him do that. That's our God. So don't let anybody call our God a monster, but he's not a monster. He's not even like man. Man's worse than a monster. Tenderhearted, feeling, tender. And the last word, forgiveness. In our text, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgiveness. Buddy, if you're guilty, there's not a more blessed word you'll ever hear. That woman caught in the act of adultery, and they brought her in. She's guilty. She knows it. Everybody else knows it. The Lord knows it. And they brought her. they brought her to him. Who brought her to him? He did. The Lord's working. They brought her to him and cast her at his feet and said, the law says she's to be stoned. What do you say? And they just were going on and on talking like social media. And he stooped down, didn't say a word, writing in the sand. as though he heard them not. They said, "Are you hearing us?" Right, didn't see him. He's listening to one person, and that person's not saying a word. What the law says is, shut her mouth. She's guilty. Everybody knows. She knows it. All she needs, all she wants, all she, her only hope is mercy. And she knows her mercy's in one person. And it's that man right there. And he stooped down where she was. And he's listening. He's not listening to all these words, all this clamor. He's listening to a heartbeat. A broken heart beating rapidly. When he was gone, when it was over, all those people were out of there, and him and this one guilty sinner, and his son, "Woman, where are your accusers? Doth no man accuse thee?" And she finally lifted up her head. "Ain't nobody here but me and you, Lord." "No man, Lord," he said.
"Neither do I."
Boy, if you're a sinner, that's what he's saying to you, Kelly Grant. Forgiven. Why? For Christ's sake. Forgiven. Blotted out. Erased. Put away. Everything. Covered under the blood. Atoned for. Remitted. Paid. All of it. And you. Who? You? Who's the worst sinner in here? If I take a show of hands, every hand will go up with him. You. Having forgiven you, all your sins, all manner of sins shall be forgiven. But you don't know how bad I am. No, I don't, but God does. And he says, you. Past, present, and we just don't know what we might do in the future. Forgiven. He said, their sin, and forgiveness means forgotten. You understand? God's forgiveness is forgotten. He said, their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. I will never bring them up. You look for them, you won't find them. I told you that story. My father went to the court. He had that wreck, and the judge, you know, he just knew he was going to throw the book at him. And his time before the judge, and the judge looked up and said, what are you here for? He said, "Well, I'm supposed to be here. I had a wreck, and it's my fault." And the judge said, "It's not on the record. You're free to go." And to that day, Dad never did know how that happened. He knows now. God said, I blotted that out. Those handwriting divorces get you, Henry. I covered it in red. So that judge, that unjust judge, can't convict you. Gone. Covered. Under the blood. You talking about a happy man going out of that courtroom. No more. I don't remember no more. No charges. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in who? Jesus Christ. You know, the scripture says he's so kind, so good, he's ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. Yeah. Let me close with giving you this illustration. I don't know. Judgment of God against us, we're guilty on all charges. And everyone's going to stand before the judgment seat of God to receive in their body things done by them. But God says, because Christ was judged for us, his people, that there's no condemnation, there's no judgment, there's no wrath. In the whole world, those outside of Christ are going to hear God say, guilty as charged. I therefore sentence you to death. Be cast in the lake of fire. Bind them hand and foot and cast them into a lake of fire. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's just something. Christ preached that. But to God's people, who feel themselves to be every bit as sinful and guilty as worst criminals, Saddam Hussein, I'm going to stand before him in the judgment. I'm not trying to be clever, but this is it. I'm going to stand before him in the judgment someday. And he's going to, and they're going to hear him say to every one of them, I hereby sentence you to life eternal. I hereby sentence you, not to death, to life eternal. Why? What have I done?
Nothing.
Christ did it all. Christ made it all. And it's without parole. Life eternal, and nothing and no one can change it forever. Why? For Christ's sake. That's why we're all going to be praising him through eternity. And he said in Matthew 18, I was going to have you turn there, but he gave the illustration of a man who was forgiven 10,000 talents. You remember that? He frankly forgave him every minute. And that man turned around and grabbed somebody by the throat that owed him 1,000 talents, just a little bit. And he threw him in prison. And our Lord was angry. He said, I've forgiven you everything. So he says to us, those who have been forgiven much, you love much. Those to whom God has been so kind and merciful, be ye kind as he was kind to you for Christ's sake. Be tender-hearted, touch it, as God for Christ's sake is tender-hearted toward you. And forgive even your enemies, as God for Christ's sake forgive you. Amen. Okay, Brother John.